Rick from Oregon State University, and she's going to talk about blackberries and raspberries.
Thank you, Dave, and good afternoon, everyone. This is a big topic, and so what I've decided to do in terms of dividing up how I'll kind of present this is the first thing I'll do is talk about nitrogen uptake studies, talk about nutrient gains and losses in raspberry and blackberry and reviewing the literature and the impact of nitrogen fertilization rate on plant responses. And then I'm going to finish it up with leaf nutrient sampling method and standards and should they differ among different caneberry types, kind of tying into what Marvin was just talking about. So I'm going to start with a study that one of my master's students, Hannah Rempel, did on meeker red raspberry using depleted N15 applied in the spring of the first year and then chased in the second year with unlabeled product. And meeker plants were harvested on 6 dates through each of the seasons. The nitrogen treatments were 2 different rates, 40 or 80 kilos per hectare, and then a split application rate where the labeled nitrogen was applied on the second half of the split in mid-May, which is about a month before fruiting starts, and then compared to an unfertilized treatment. And so this shows grams of nitrogen per plant, and this is fertilizer nitrogen. And the orange line is the whole plant, grams total fertilizer taken up. The purple is the floricane, the green is the primacane, and then the lower asterisk, light purple line is the crown. And the roots are not shown here because we couldn't dig up the entire root system and get total grams per plant of fertilizer. So the first thing to note is that between the two spring applications of 40 and 80, the rate of uptake was very similar. We see the fertilizer taken up into the roots and then slowly into the crown. And then by fruiting, a lot of the fertilizer nitrogen was in the floricanes, including in the fruit. And then as the floricanes were senescing, let's see if I can use, I don't have a pointer here, and since it's being recorded, I'll just mention it. So the floricane, the decline in fertilizer nitrogen in the floricane is because of fruit harvest as well as remobilization of nitrogen as those floricanes were senescing, and we saw that obviously at both rates. So when we apply nitrogen late in the second split, then we have a situation where almost all of that fertilizer nitrogen is going into the new primacanes. When we look at fertilizer recovery, these are pretty good values for field applied labeled nitrogen. But what's interesting is when you look at fertilizer uptake, it can very much be affected by the environment as well as some cultural practices. So this is work that we did where we enriched prunings, senescing floricanes with N15. And then we simulated what a grower would do, which is chopping or flailing those. And we applied those prunings in the row on bare soil, under black plastic or under straw, and then we applied a similar rate, an equivalent rate of enriched N15 as a granular fertilizer, and then looked a year and a half later to see how much of that nitrogen was taken up by the plants. And we actually found an equivalent amount of nitrogen taken up from the enriched prunings as from granular fertilizer. So it's clear that in a cultural practice like chopping up prunings, if the roots are there, then that nitrogen is returned to the plant over time. Also, temperature. Soil temperature was warmest under black plastic, coolest under straw, and that was directly related to the amount of nitrogen taken up by the plant. So soil temperature has a large effect. We've done nitrogen N15 uptake work in trailing blackberry in an alternate year production system. The key question here is, should we recommend to growers that fertilizer be applied in the off year when only primacanes are growing, or in the on year when floricanes and primacanes are growing, or both? And so a typical rate of nitrogen application applied at bud break or primacane emergence in early April, chased the second year with unlabeled product, applying it in either the on or the off year, looking at storage nitrogen the following year, and plants were harvested on each of 5 dates through the season. So in the top left, that is fertilizer nitrogen, proportion of nitrogen in the plant from the fertilizer, and that's showing fertilizer uptake in the primacaine-only growth year. So you can see the bottom line is fertilizer uptake in the crown. The blue line is in the roots, and then the green is primacaines and primacaine leaves. And you can see a decline in the primacaine leaves and primacaines as that nitrogen is senescing in those leaves or being lost from the plant in senescence. Moving from that fertilization year in the off year to the use of stored fertilizer nitrogen, that's labeled nitrogen, in the on year, we see starting at an equivalent rate because those primacanes are overwintering, and then that fertilizer nitrogen is stored in the cane, and you can see it in the floricane, which is the top red line. And we see a significant amount of stored nitrogen in the fruit, which is the purple square in the top right. And we see a decline in stored nitrogen in the roots and in the crown as that stored reserve is being used for new primacaine growth, albeit small, and for the floricane growth. Now, in contrast, in the lower left, as we apply fertilizer in the on year, what we see is an increase in the roots, an increase in a crown as that fertilizer is taken up. We see a very large amount of that new fertilizer nitrogen in the primacanes. Fertilizer nitrogen is also used for floricane, and the fruiting lateral growth is the pale brown, and then we see it in the fruit. So in contrast, in an on year, we're seeing fertilizer nitrogen go into the primacanes and into the floricanes. When that plant overwinters, the challenge we have now with alternate year production is we're mowing that plant back to the ground. There is no, essentially no above ground storage of fertilizer nitrogen. You're removing it. And so what you're left with is the crown and the roots supply, the stored reserves. And in a situation like that, we see a depletion in the roots and the crowns of storage nitrogen and a little bit of stored nitrogen used for primacaine growth, but not a lot. Most of the new primacaine growth comes from fertilizer nitrogen, and this is why we recommend fertilization in both the on and the off year in an alternate year system. Now, similar conclusions have been drawn in erect and semi-erect blackberry by others in pot culture and in field-grown systems where fruit and primacanes are the strongest sink for new fertilizer nitrogen. The floricane, as it's senescing, is remobilizing nutrients where it can. Roots are a very large storage site for fertilizer nitrogen and very little stored and is used for primacaine growth. So all these different types of blackberries are quite similar, we found. Looking at nitrogen concentration data, and this is work, again, from my graduate student. We've done similar work in blackberry. Results are very similar. When you look at nitrogen concentration over time in the crowns, in the brown, and in the roots, in the blue, we see a decrease in nitrogen concentration as those reserves are being used, and then a replenishment late in the season. Primacane leaves and primacanes have a high tissue nitrogen concentration early in the season and a lower concentration later, and we see a green fruit having a higher nitrogen concentration than ripe fruit, all pretty typical. And fruiting lateral nitrogen concentration decreases throughout the fruiting period. Part of that is due to remobilization, also because it's moving to the fruit. When we look at annual nitrogen accumulation, we have a range of about 70 to 125 kilos of nitrogen per hectare. It's been documented as above ground accumulation in red raspberry, and around 40 kilos of nitrogen per hectare in trailing blackberries, work that we've done. I don't know of anyone who's done it in other blackberry types. Why is it a lot lower in blackberry? They're more vigorous, higher yield. It's because of the spacing. The in-row spacing on trailing blackberry is 5 feet in the row compared to 2 feet to 2.5 feet in red raspberry. That's a big reason. So looking at patterning nitrogen cycling, we start with nitrogen stored in primacanes, crown, and roots in our raspberry and blackberry production systems. We've documented in red raspberry and in blackberry that about 40% of that stored nitrogen is used for new growth the following spring. Then as we apply fertilizer, there's root uptake throughout the season. We've documented this with N15. It's taken up into the various plant parts. If you're applying nitrogen late or if it's still available, it goes into the primacanes, crowns, and the roots. We have nitrogen losses in the fruit, in the floricanes with some recovery as they're senescing, and then in the leaves as they're senescing. Again, if those fall in the field, those are recovered, with a removal of 45 to 50 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in these cane berries. So we've also done work looking at total nutrient accumulation. And so what we have here is the top two graphs are primacanes, the middle are floricanes, and the bottom are crowns and roots. This is showing for the macronutrients on the left, grams per plant, and the micronutrients on the right, milligrams, per plant. And first looking at primacanes, dry weight in every graph in grams per plant is shown as the dashed green line, and then we have the different nutrients. And what's interesting in primacanes is that the maximum accumulation of nitrogen precedes maximum dry weight. And in most of the other macro and micronutrients, it either follows dry weight or is delayed relative to dry weight increases. In floricanes, nitrogen use or uptake is very rapid as those fruiting laterals are growing, whereas there's a delay or a concomitant increase in the other macro and micronutrients. And down below on the crown and the roots, you can see not only does a dry weight pattern a use of reserves and a replenishment of growth, but so do a lot of the macronutrients, particularly nitrogen and calcium, but in the micronutrients, manganese and boron. When we look at nutrient removal and loss, and I'll use red raspberry here as an example, we've found very similar results in blackberry. So the values are almost the same when we look at fruit nitrogen and other macronutrient concentrations. When we have an 8-ton per hectare yield and plants fertilized with 80 kilos of nitrogen per hectare, the main nutrients removed in the fruit are nitrogen and potassium, and in the micros, boron and manganese. And when we look at floricane prunings, again, nitrogen, potassium, but also calcium. And you can see that if we delay floricane pruning from August to September, we are recovering more nutrients, particularly nitrogen and potassium. And at leaf senescence, we're losing 10 kilos of nitrogen per hectare in the leaves, which indicates, I believe, more of a luxury uptake. The plant took up more than it needed. When we look at nitrogen fertilization rates, it's all over the board. If you're not using N15, you get results all over the board with no response to increasing nitrogen fertilization. There may be a threshold for nitrogen in different cane berries. Sometimes a consistent supply preconditions the plants, and nitrogen response can be affected by planting age. Also, other nutrients, as Marvin mentioned in strawberry, can impact responses to nitrogen, and particularly in this case, soils high in magnesium and calcium responded better to nitrogen when potassium was also fertilized. Higher rates of nitrogen often increase yield by increasing primacane number because they may or may not increase primacane length. And sometimes we see larger berry size when we increase nitrogen fertilization. And we've been able to show that with higher rates of nitrogen, you're increasing the fruit nitrogen concentration, and a larger proportion of nitrogen in that fruit is from the fertilizer. So there is luxury uptake in these caneberry crops, and it might lead to negative effects. This is done in thornless evergreen, which is a trailing blackberry, and here the middle rate of nitrogen, so there's a threshold effect, had the highest yield, the largest berry weight, and the most firm fruit. And there was a reduction in total soluble solids of the fruit when there was fertilization. And higher nitrogen rates have also been shown to reduce soluble solids concentration in raspberry. In primacane fruiting raspberry, higher rates of nitrogen have also increased primacane number and sometimes increased the proportion of flowering nodes. But there have been inconsistent effects on the time to flowering or how soon those plants will yield, which is of interest certainly in off-season production systems. This recent study by Opstad in Norway is interesting because she found that interrupting nitrogen fertigation in a floricane off-season raspberry production system, if she interrupted fertigation during the flower bud differentiation period, that led to higher yield compared to continuous fertigation during that period or stopping before. And this is interesting and I think a researchable question. As we see more and more production in off-season worldwide, there's a lot of room for research on the timing of fertigation in these highly manipulated systems. Moving on to nitrogen form. This is early work done by Clausen and Lentz in 1999, and we and others in our nutrient management guides recommend nitrate as the form that caneberries are fertilized with, saying they prefer the nitrate form. And what's interesting about this paper, which was done in quartz sand culture, and then let's focus on raspberries in the middle, is that they found higher photosynthetic rates when plants were fertilized with the ammonium form plus calcium carbonate, which I assume is a pH response. But what's really interesting when you look at the dry plant dry weight response is that unlike strawberry, which clearly performs better with the nitrate form of nitrogen and does well if the ammonium's fed at the higher pH, raspberry really didn't seem to matter what form of nitrogen and potentially what pH. And this work hasn't been done in blackberry, and the fact that now we have a tremendous amount of substrate production of raspberry with industry manipulating nitrate to ammonium ratios, the slate is totally open on doing more work on these ratios and what impact they have on plant performance, in my opinion. So looking at the impact of these fertilizer treatments on leaf nutrients. So let's start there. First, this is work done by Naraguma and Clark on Arapaho, and they were looking at nitrogen rate effects, and they found no effect on yield, berry weight, or primacaine numbers. So it was one of those studies with no effect. Even though the nitrogen rate, as it increased leaf nitrogen concentration. But there was no concomitant response in yield. And with fertilizer compared to no nitrogen, we see a reduction in calcium in the leaves, and that's not unusual in other crops. Here in, again, in erect blackberry, we have three different cultivars, and there was no difference between the cultivars in leaf nutrient concentrations at the same rate of nitrogen. But what was interesting about this study is they confirmed that leaf nutrient changes occurred in all the nutrients over the season, but they sampled the leaf blade and the petiole separately. And, you know, even if we look at our recommended sampling time, in this study it would be sometime in August, the August sampling, for some nutrients like nitrogen, there's a big difference between leaf blade nitrogen concentration and petiole nitrogen concentration. And I see a lot of variability in how growers sample, with or without the petiole in caneberries. So this is something that's either an extension question or a research question or both. They found no difference in cultivars in nutrient concentrations, said that these were very similar. They're all siblings. We have found huge differences in blackberry cultivar nutrient concentrations in all the macros and all the micros. And this just shows nitrogen as an example, same field, same grower, same management, huge ranges of 2.7 to 3.7. So tissue analysis from an extension standpoint, we have similar recommendations. We all say sample cultivars separately, which I think is definitely something we want to do. And time of sampling, we all say, is very important. We know which leaves to sample, and good work's been done in that area, and this has led to these standards. So these standards are clearly stipulated, as Marvin recommended, mentioned, to be from late July to early August on the most recent fully expanded primacaine leaf. These are three very widely used nutrient management guides. I've put ours on the left, Oregon State University's, which is used throughout the Pacific Northwest. Then we have the Northeastern Guide, and then the California Fresh Caneberry Production Manual. You can see our standards are kind of similar. So a green means that the standard in that guide starts lower, at a lower sufficiency level than ours, which is, I'll use as the reference since I'm the speaker. And then, then we have phosphorus. When we have a purple, it means that that sufficiency range is within ours, both the lower and upper end. And then a red means that it ends at a higher sufficiency level. So they're all very, very similar, except for magnesium, where the Northeast guide is quite high. We're 0.3 to 0.6. In the Northeast, it's 0.6 to 0.9. And California decided, perhaps, to go with our lower end and their upper end just to be safe. I'm not sure. But anyway, these standards are the same, whether it's a raspberry, red or black, a blackberry, whether it's a floricane fruiter or a primacane fruiter. So I'm starting to question whether that's a good idea. So here we have work that's has been done by Dave and myself, and the paper is in progress. Fruiting lateral leaves are on the top. I'm not going to talk about those. But what I want to focus on are primacane leaves. And the box shows the recommended sampling time, that's the width of the box, from late July to early August, and the height of the box is the sufficiency range. We have different cultivars of floricane fruiting raspberry here showing nitrogen over 2 years. And you can see that the cultivars differ somewhat in primacane leaf nitrogen concentration, but we're falling within the range. But we're sampling perhaps a bit too early. They're not quite at that stable level, potentially. Is that true for some of these other nutrients? I'm just going to show a couple of them. These are floricane fruiting raspberries, calcium and potassium. Look at the cultivar differences in leaf calcium. They are stable for two of the cultivars, Meeker and Tulamine, but for the other two, Cascade Delight and Cowichan, they are rapidly increasing during that period, which is interesting. Still within the range because the range is huge. Then we have potassium. We are below the recommended range for tissues potassium. And again, perhaps recommending sampling a bit earlier than when they level off. Now, primacane fruiting raspberry. Here you have a situation where you're sampling leaves from a primacane that is fruiting or about to fruit. Would expect that to be quite different, and indeed it is. So nitrogen, again, probably sampling later would be a bit better. Phosphorus, we found this in floricane fruiting types 2, is phosphorus tissue tends to have a V pattern. And then potassium, boy, our sufficiency level is way low for primacane fruiting, we believe. And also the sampling time might need to be a bit later. Here we have calcium, magnesium, and boron. Calcium, it's increasing at that period, but the sufficiency range is so wide that that may not be an issue. This is our range for magnesium, 0.3. And California's to 0.9, so that's broad. But the northeastern range is from 0.6 to 0.9, which is way too high, and I'm not sure if that's a typo in their production guide, because that is very, very high for tissue magnesium. Boron, we're perhaps all too low on what would be expected in primacane fruiting raspberry for tissue boron at that time of year. So we've been doing leaf sampling in trailing blackberry and in erect and semi-erect blackberry to learn more about how these cultivars might differ, whether it's different between a conventionally managed with conventional nutrients, inorganic sources of fertilizer, and organic sources, predominantly fish emulsion that is fertigated, and whether or not we expect to see differences and whether our standards should change. So I'm in the first year of a two-year study, so these are 2013 data. On the top graph, we have organically managed, certified organic. On the bottom is conventional management. We have different cultivars on both graphs, and we have the fruiting season noted in the bars on the bottom. So we're showing this case leaf nitrogen concentration. Our recommended sufficiency range is there. And the first thing to note is that cultivars are differing quite a bit in leaf nitrogen, primacaine leaf nitrogen concentration during that recommended sampling time. And again, perhaps the sampling time should be a bit later when levels are a little more stable. Here is potassium. Again, our caneberries here, in this case blackberries, are below the sufficiency range for potassium. These are very good fields. They are high yielding. I would not expect these to need more potassium. When we compare trailing types to erect and semi-erect, so here's Marion in green. We have Chester and Triple Crown in the blue and purple, and Ouachita in the, orange. And you can see the fruiting seasons are quite different. And so we see tissue nitrogen declining. We see large differences between cultivars. And while the trailing type is relatively stable during that period, the erect and semi-erects are rapidly declining during that period of time. And despite there being a lot of potassium in the fruit, despite there being huge ranges in their fruiting seasons, differences, we see that they have a very similar primacaine leaf potassium concentration during that period, but again, they're all below our present sufficiency standards. And look at leaf magnesium. I wouldn't want to develop nutrient management programs based on those levels, but at least they're all within the sufficiency range. And finishing up with primacaine fruiting blackberry, our production recommendations are pretty well established now, with tipping to cause branching. And depending upon when you sample, if you sample in late July, depending on the production region, you might be sampling leaves from the main cane. But as you get into early August, you might be sampling leaves from the branches that are fruiting, depending upon the time of year that you're collecting leaves. And so doing leaf tissue sampling over two seasons, it became very apparent to me that I couldn't do this by year. I had to adjust the sampling date based on the phenological stage of the plant. Otherwise, the tissue nutrient concentrations did not match up. So 6 weeks post-hedging, which is the tipping date, they're at early bloom. 10 weeks post-hedging, early green fruit stage, and then we get into the red fruit and black fruit stage. So looking at tissue nitrogen, hedging is the zero. Minus two is 2 weeks before hedging, so we're sampling on the main cane. Week zero, we're sampling on the main cane. 2-4 weeks after hedging, we're still sampling on the main cane. And then on week six, we're sampling on the branches, as a commercial grower would do. And for us, week six is about the recommended sampling time, when growers would be going in on the branches. And you can see we're within the recommended tissue standards, and leaf nitrogen is decreasing over time. But you can see phosphorus levels are below our present sufficiency levels, despite plenty of soil phosphorus and no obvious deficiency on the plant. And then we have leaf potassium, again, below our sufficiency levels. And here we get interesting, but boy, you can see what I meant about matching up. If the tissue sampling over the 2 years, the solid line and the dashed line, if they're related to time of hedging, they match up perfectly. If they're on calendar date, they'd be shifted because we had different growing degree dates and they were growing at different rates. So look how quickly leaf calcium and leaf magnesium change when we switch to sampling on the branches. And so what I'm proposing is that we shift the sampling date in primacaine fruiting blackberries to this period of 8 to 10 weeks after harvest, and we would still be in that sufficiency range, and the levels would be more predictable and more stable. And that's true for boron and manganese also. So that's the paper I'm about to submit. And this 8 to 10 weeks after hedging or tipping coincides with late bloom through red fruit stage in our production region. And I think that would be a good key to use for sampling for primacaine fruiting blackberry. So in summary, raspberry and blackberry have similar patterns of nitrogen uptake and use of stored nitrogen, and accumulation of other nutrients generally preceded growth. Nutrient losses are similar in the prunings as well as in the fruit between these caneberry types. and primacaine leaf nutrient standards may need revision, both for primacaine fruiting raspberry and primacaine fruiting blackberry in particular, but also for some of the nutrients in floricane fruiting types. And so I will leave it at that.
Thanks, Bernadette.